Genesis chapter 24. So with that thought in your head, let me talk about Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to read them. But I want you to know that in Ephesians chapter 1, those first 14 verses, we see the work of God the Father. We see the work of God the Son. And we see the work of God the Holy Spirit. And we're also told the reason there in the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. We're also told the reason why they're working like that. The work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Ghost. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, not only are those three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working, but here's the reason that they're working. It is for God's glory that they are working. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I'll read that one. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, the work that God is doing will bring Him glory. The work God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are doing for His own glory. Now here, and you say, why Ephesians chapter 1? Because here in Genesis chapter 24, we see the story played out before our eyes so that you understand when you get to the New Testament, so that you understand God the Father is working, God the Son is working, God the Holy Spirit is working. And you've got Genesis chapter 24, the story plays out in front of us. You see, listen closely, the bride, that would be the church, the bride of Christ, we call it the church. You, Christian, every one of you, every one of us that truly belongs to the Lord, we're a part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the church, part of the bride. Listen closely. The bride is the Father's love gift to His Son. Think about that. The bride is the Father's love gift to His Son. God the Father will give to God the Son, to Jesus Christ, He will bring Him a bride. It's His love gift. That's I've got a few verses. But in John 3:16, we normally emphasize that the Son is the Father's love gift to the world, don't we? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son is our Father's love gift to us. Because He loves us, He sent His only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. But the truth is also, don't forget that the church is the Father's love gift to His Son. And you can find that in John chapter 17. I've written down, let's see, verses 2, 6, 9, 11, 12, and 24. Got it? Just say John chapter 17. Verses 2, 6, 9, 11, and 12, and 24. It's all the way through it, but just wanted you to know that. What a thought. You. Okay. Let's say it out loud again. What a thought. You and me, God is giving as a gift to His Son. Don't laugh. Don't look around or you will. Think about that. And Jesus says it through John chapter 17, as I read you those verses. Those verses say this: the ones that you have given to me, you gave them to me. You have given them to me. He is showing you clearly what God has done for us, to us and for us. Well, so what? Well, so this. Abraham, here in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham represents the Father. Okay. The servant that you'll meet here in chapter 24, I think we've already met him, but let's just pretend, even if we haven't, here in chapter 24, the servant that the Father sends, Abraham represents the Father. He is the father of Isaac. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. Isaac represents Jesus Christ, the Son, as you've seen him be a type of or represent him before. But Rebecca also represents somebody. Who do you think that might be? Rebecca represents us, the church. So you have the story laid out in front of you in Genesis chapter 24 of all those things you've been telling others about, of all those things you've been reading through the New Testament. You have the story laid out in front of us so we can see how it plays out. How does it all work? Now we can start chapter 24. Verse 1 says, and Abraham was old. Now, when I say Abraham represents God, God is not old. Understand what I mean by a type. He represents the Father, but God's all right. He's on the throne. He's got a daytime job. He's great. Don't worry that he's old. Abraham is old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham, underline this, in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house. Do you remember who his eldest servant was? As you look back, you're right. As you look back, you're going to see that Eliezer is the eldest servant. His name is not mentioned here. So, of course, the scholars will debate on this. Who is this eldest servant? Well, if it's Eliezer, probably is. But there's a reason that his name is not mentioned here. We'll talk about that. But Eliezer, the name means God is help. Now, let me say that again. Okay, that's very impressive. You got to get on board here. God is help. Who is the helper? Holy Spirit. So you see, the servant represents the Holy Ghost. Okay. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over, here it is, all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, and thou shalt not, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Instead of putting your hand on a Bible and swearing, they didn't have Bibles. The way they would swear is they would put their hand under, usually under the right thigh. And that's how they would take an oath or swear an oath. I swear. He says, swear to me. By the God of heaven, or by the Lord, the God of heaven, God of the earth, that you will not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Here in this land, you've got to swear to me. I'm getting old and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But so you've got to swear to me. You're the oldest servant of the house. You're the helper. You've got to swear to me. If you have sons or daughters that are single, maybe they're 2 years old, 5 years old, 13, 14, you know, if you have sons or daughters that are not married, then you should be praying now. Now. You say, oh, my baby is only 3 months old. Great time to start. I hope you started 3 months ago or even before that. Start praying now for that son or that daughter that they do not marry a Canaanite. Or in our language, let's put it in American, that they do not marry a non-Christian. Start praying now. Start praying. If you've got a daughter, start praying for that guy who's going to show up sooner or later. It's going to happen. Even if she's 50 or so, it'll happen. It's going to happen. You look at that guy and you say, I don't know. No one will want to marry him. Oh, yeah, there's somebody out there. God made them. They don't see well. They don't wear, you know, it's coming. So you need to be in prayer. You see, they're still in the land of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites worship false gods. And he says, you got to swear to me. You see, if your son or your daughter marries one of the Canaanites, you're going to have trouble. If you marry a non-believer, their father is the devil. So you're going to have real trouble with your father-in-law, right? If your son or your daughter marries an unbeliever, they're going to have trouble with their father-in-law. They're going to have trouble anyway, but it's coming. You can see it coming. So Abraham says, we can't have that. Got to work it this way. You got to swear to me. But, verse 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, verse 5 says, peradventure, the woman is not willing or will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son there or thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this my oath, only do not bring my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning this matter. Swear to me that you will not choose a wife of the Canaanites. Go to my kindred and there choose a wife for my son. Well, that's far away. What if she won't, not willing to come back? Should I take your son there? No. In faith, this is where we belong. This is where we stay. We have entered into this promised land. We will not go back to Egypt. We will not go back. Abraham has learned his lesson. We won't go back. So if she refuses to come out, do not take my son there. If she refuses, then you are freed from the oath. But the angel of the Lord will go before you, my God, who promised me, and I believe he'll do this. But if she chooses not to, then you're free from the oath. Look at Abraham's faith. The Lord God promised me. The Lord God said this would be. I believe him. I trust him. I'll walk in faith. And I'm asking you to swear because Abraham's too old to do this. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So in faith, Abraham says, no. I believe God will keep his promise. If she chooses herself not to return with you, I will not hold you to this oath. Also, besides Galatians 3:11, you can also write down Romans 1:17 and Hebrews 10:38. Each of those verses say, the just shall live by faith. If she's not willing to come back with you and marry my son, then the oath is no more. You're free. Verse 10 says, and so the servant took the oath, and verse 10 says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hands, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, Ur of the Chaldees, that area. That's where Abraham came from. That's where Abraham's relatives still were. And so the servant hops on some camels, takes 10 of them, and heads across that dust devil desert to Nahor. 450 miles on a camel. Have you ever been on a camel? Now, those of you that got your pictures taken in Israel on a camel, it's not even comfortable to sit on them. Even if you've got the proper saddle kind of stuff. Oh my goodness, and they walk weird and they have fleas. That's why the curse, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your life. And, you know, I mean, it is not for the faint-hearted camel trips. 450 miles. It took them probably about 30 days. A full month one way. the servant. The Bible says, all the goods of his master were in his hands. Think about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. When he gives gifts unto men, he is God himself. All the power, all the authority, all knowledge, all wisdom. Think about it. And so the servant has all the goods of his master in his hands, just as the Holy Spirit is God, and has the power of God, knows the mind of God because he is God. Well, he heads on out. And, you know, I love this. You take a 1 month trip and it is one verse long. And so because it is, you and I as Christians, we read verse 10 and go, nothing to it. Hop on that camel, 32 minutes, you're there. No, it took a long time, 450 miles. It was hot. It's desert. It's dangerous. There are thieves. There are strange individuals out there running the hills. And you've got a lot to contend with. And if he took 10 camels, you can believe that he probably has servants going with him, riding those camels. You know, you're not going to try to herd a bunch of camels. So he's probably got a whole gang of people with him, and they're bringing gifts because we know that all the goods of his master were in his hand. So he brought a pretty penny worth of stuff. And we read verse 11. And he made his camels, once they got there to Nahor, it says he came to the Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, here's a prayer. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the men of the city come out to draw water. They're coming out now, Lord, I see them. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. He prays a simple prayer. Lord, here I am. I'm by the well. Got these camels and it's been a long trip. And, you know, here it is the time that the ladies from the town are going to come out to draw water in the evening. They usually would do it 2-3 times a day. So this is toward evening. They come out to draw water, and he's praying as he sees them coming out of the city. Now listen to me. There's not just one girl with a pot. The women would come in groups, in droves. I won't say herds. I'll just say in large groups, coming out to get the water. And so he prays. He says, Lord, you pick. The one that you want for my master's son. You choose them. You call them out. You choose her, Lord. Lord, you choose the woman. Let the woman that I pick be the woman that you have already picked. Let me say it another way. Let the one that I choose, Lord, be the one that you have already called. Now think about it. Let's go back. And remember, this servant represents the Holy Spirit. And Jesus will tell us, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we are also told that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, before the earth was created, you were chosen. He knew when you would be born, and he knew. But you say, I didn't have a choice. Oh, wait a minute. When we get to the end of the chapter, you'll see a very clear choice you had, church. You see, it's just that God knows everything. He knew when I would accept him. I didn't. But he didn't make me. He gave me a free choice. The way that Mr. Ironside describes it is you're walking by a door, and on the door you read these words, whosoever will enter in. You stop and you look at that door and you see people seeing it and walking by, but you look at it and you think, it says anybody that wants to can enter. And you know me, I just open it and enter in and I close the door and I look straight ahead and there's a table all set with places and name tags of all the places. And I look down and there's my name. And I turn around and look back at the door and the sign over the door says, predestined from the foundation of the world. Did he make me go through that door? No, but did he know I would? And there he was ready for me. Well, listen to this. Lord, you lead. You let me pick the one that you have already chosen. Okay, now, I don't know much about this servant, but I know a little bit about men. And I'm convinced that he probably wasn't looking for the ugliest one in the crowd. All right, you're picking a wife for your master's son. Lord, you got to do this. You pick the one that I ask for a drink. Let her say, I'll water your camels too. What do you think he's going to ask? Just any? No, he's going to be looking around going, well, if I were Isaac, right? You don't think so? How do you think he picked her? No. How do you think he did it? That's exactly how he did it. He prayed and then he said, okay, there's a good looking one right there. She looks nice. Now, camels not only have fleas, they drink a lot of water. I mean, camels, you come across the desert, they load up on water because they don't know when they're going to be watering again. And they'll go from oasis to oasis. So what my point is this, if Lord, the one that I ask for a drink, let her say, and I'll water your camels. Whoever says that has got a chore on their hands. There are 10 of these things. You're going to be drawing water for quite a while. And whoever says that is going to be a worker. Or really kind-hearted, or maybe they've never seen camels. I don't think that's the case with this girl. I think she understood it was going to be a job, and it was a kindness from her heart, and that's going to be a real assignment. To water 10 camels, that's kind of like filling your radiator. You ever try that? You put the hose in there, and it's just like it never stops. It's just skinny, and it's only this tall, but it just keeps going. That's the way camels are. They just keep going, like at the gas pump. Lord, you've led me this far. Lead me on. You hear that? Lord, you got me here. You've led my master all the way. You've been in charge the entire time. Keep being in charge. Let the one that I ask say, I'll water your camels. That's not going to be ordinary. That woman is going to be taking on a huge task. Well, he prays. And verse 15 says, and it came to pass, before he was finished praying, speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born into Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. She came out, so this is Abraham's relative, kind of a niece sort of thing. She came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And I wasn't joking. The Bible says she was beautiful. The damsel was very fair to look upon. In our language, you would say she was beautiful. It makes sense that he's going to be looking at someone who's very attractive. He wants this the best for his master's son, right? So she was fair to look upon. She was a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, came up. This is the first time we see Rebekah. And God's word says she was very pretty, very beautiful. fair to look upon. I'm not surprised. It just makes sense. Some people teach and believe that beauty is of the devil, and that to try and look attractive is a sin. Some churches teach that. It probably would be a sin for a guy like me. Thank you. Hollywood basically is trying to make beauty an evil thing. They are distorting it. They are twisting it. They are making it bizarre out. And so in Hollywood, facelifts, you know, like I've told you, some of them have had their face lifted so many times they have to climb a ladder to blow their nose. And so beauty starts to look wrong. It starts to look, you see a man or a woman in their 70s and they're trying to look like they're 26, and you can look at it and say, that's wrong. It looks wrong. And you see some of the guys not so old, 45 not so old and looking wrong, looking like they belong in strange movies. But notice, God makes everything beautiful in His time. God created beauty. So if you are a beauty, that is not a sin. That is not a problem. It can become a stumbling block. You have to be careful of it. Rebecca was a beautiful girl. But don't get the wrong picture. In other words, keep the picture that really took place here. Rebecca is not the only girl coming down to draw water. When you read this, if you see it wrong, you're going to think, well, there's only one girl to choose from. Her. Okay, I'll take her. That's not what went on. The women were coming out. This is the time when they came out. And of these women, Rebecca caught his eye. And he thought, wow, I'll ask her. But he had already prayed. As he was finished praying, there she was. And he washed her and then she drew the water. Well, he walks up to her and he says this. The servant ran to meet her in verse 17. And he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of your pitcher. Could I have a drink of water, please? Is what he just said. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hurried and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they are finished drinking. Wasn't that his prayer? Now, he didn't tell her that, did he? You see, God is behind everything that's going on. Listen, God is behind everything that's going on in your life, too. You cannot see him. But God is behind things that are going on. You need to listen. We need to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Knowing that although, well, this is going to be a tough one. Lord, there are so many girls. I need to pick the one that you've chosen. Let me do that. Show me, Lord. Let it be this way. And God says, I'm right here. I'm with you. Because God wants the best for Isaac as well, doesn't he? God promised Abraham that the whole world would be blessed through his seed. Well, Isaac is there, and now Isaac's going to have to get married if they're going to have children. I know some people do it other ways, but right now that's the way it's supposed to be done. Isaac's going to have to marry a girl. Abraham says, God promised, but don't take one of the Canaanites. Don't take a non-believer. So here he goes 450 miles away, and he happens to run into a relative. Now, you know the word that we use in the world is coincidence. But you also know we don't believe in that. I think the Bible clearly says there isn't. There can't be. There's no such thing. God is, I hate to say it this way, let me say it this way anyway. God is behind the scenes controlling it all. I hate to say that when I say that, you get this idea he's invisible. And the book of Romans chapter 1 says he's not invisible. You can see his handiwork. You can literally watch what he's doing. So don't get me wrong when I say behind the scenes. My point is this. God is working in our hearts. He is working in your life right now, even though it seems like nothing's going on. Sometimes you say, man, I've been reading my Bible and I've been praying. And I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like a dry time. It's not a dry time. God is doing something. There is something going on. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is working. And in here, God is working. The servant would have to choose one of them, and he chose Rebecca. More importantly, God had already chosen Rebecca, hasn't he? That was the servant's prayer. Well, verse 20. She hurried, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. This girl had a job to do. I mean, this is a chore. She worked hard that afternoon, that evening. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He was amazed at just her kindness and to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, verse 22, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. In other words, she worked so hard, he gave her gifts. Now, she doesn't know what's going on, but he gave her gifts just in repayment for the kindness that she had done. A little bit of gold, a little silver, you know, that kind of stuff. And said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in your father's house for us to stay in?" Can we stay in your father's house? Whose daughter are you? She said to him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said, moreover, unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. You can come and stay with us." She invites him and all his 10 camels and all his troop to come to her house for dinner and to stay overnight. And the man, verse 26, bowed down his head and worshiped God. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren," or my master's brother. Notice, "I, being in the way, the Lord has led me." Do you hear that, Christian? I, being in the way, I'm doing what I was commanded to do. I have traveled because my master asked me to do this. I am in the will of my master. This is what my master has sent me to do, and I'm doing it. And God leads the way. Christian, get back into serving your master. Get back into listening to the Lord and asking him for the strength to do the things he says. And as you're serving him, you'll notice God is going to lead the way. He always does. I like it. The servant immediately bows down and worships God, giving God all the glory. "The Lord has led me." He trusted God. He cried out to God. And God led him. He simply obeyed his master and trusted. Listen, write it down if you have to. Trust and obey. That's easy to remember. Trust and obey. By the power of the Holy Spirit, just trust and obey the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Just trust, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, obey. What he did. That's how it works. Verse 28. I better hurry. Kristen's starting to bounce around up there. Oh, it's cold? Dude. And the damsel, verse 28, she ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man to the well. Came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spoke the man unto me," that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. He said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou outside or without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. Here, we meet Laban for the first time. We're going to deal with him later on. Jacob's going to learn how to deal with Laban. But you notice, Laban recognizes God's doing something. But what does Laban notice? The jewelry. Doesn't he? He's not going to change as he gets older. You're going to see Laban's the same kind of guy. He's shrewd, and Jacob's kind of shrewd, and they're going to run into one another a couple times and have some troubles just because of it. But Laban says, man, we're ready for you. You come on in. Woo, nice bracelets. Come on in. You know, we're blessed of the Lord. Yeah. Well, verse 33 says, and there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I like this. I will not eat till I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on, or say on. Okay, before you eat, I want to tell you what I'm doing here, before we eat. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. That means rich. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. He said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath when thou come to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. Verse 42. I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say her, give me, I pray thee, a little drink of thy pitcher to drink, or a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman which the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the well, drew water, and I said to her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she said, she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank. She made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He just goes over the entire story. Before we eat, I got to tell you this. I got to tell you everything that happened. Listen closely. My master Abraham, he's great. My master, he's rich. My master has donkeys and camels and sheep. My master has a lot of men servants and maid servants. My master, do you notice the servant doesn't talk about himself? My master told me to do this. That's just what I did. Do you notice that the servant doesn't concentrate on himself at all? Who does he concentrate on? My master. The Holy Spirit. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit when he came? Listen to John chapter 16. I'll read you verses 13 through 15. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen closely now. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. When the Holy Spirit comes, what will the Holy Spirit talk about? What will the Holy Spirit direct you to? What will the Holy Spirit want you to know? God Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Son. my master, and Isaac his son, the Father and the Son. I'm here to do the will of the Father and the Son. I am here for the glory of the Father and the Son. He represents the Holy Spirit. So he's not into himself. He just says, this is what I was told to do. I prayed this. This is what happened. If it's going to work out, let me know. If not, let me know. I mean, I'm excited here. I don't even want to eat. He doesn't talk about the responsibilities he's got. He doesn't talk about the trip with all the fleas, 450 miles on those camels. He doesn't talk about these whining guys that helped him bring the 10 camels and, you know, the things they argued about and how you had to keep them off each other's back. And he doesn't, all he says is, my master, my master, my master. And his son, his son, his son. That's what I want you to look at. That's what I want you to know. Listen, Rebecca is listening to all this. He was actually born when she was 90. Miraculous birth. Oh, he had a brother that really got kicked out. And Abraham was going to sacrifice him on that mountain in Moriah. Oh, man, what an interesting family. Wow. Can you imagine all the stories that the servant must have told about the father and the son? Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. This is definitely from God. We cannot speak unto the bad or good. We can't say a thing. I mean, we see it's the Lord. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, here it is again, guys, he worshiped the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you. He just bows down, but he's like, all right, man, Father God, go, you're good, right? Bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave to her brother, and Laban loved that, and to her mother precious things. And they ate and they drank, and he and the men that were with him tarried all night. Now you can imagine the stories he must have told, and Rebecca was just there listening, thinking, this is great. This is miraculous. Okay. Anyway, they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. I gotta go. Man, he hasn't even been there 24 hours. You just made a 1 month trip. You want to just take a break, man? Nope. I'm on assignment. I gotta get this woman back to my master's son. She's the one. She's chosen by the Lord. She's a beauty. He's going to be thrilled. I got to get him back. Got to get her back. And her brother, verse 55, said, and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, at least 10 more days, a little over a week. Just stay another week or so, and then we'll let you go. Verse 56, he said unto them, oh, don't hinder me. Don't stop me. I mean, I'm on a roll here. He says, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go. I need to go. I want to go back to my master. He is going to be thrilled. I want to get this young girl back to the son, because he is going to, oh man, is he going to be thrilled. And they said, we will call the girl, the damsel. Listen closely, church. She represents the church, right? We will call her and we'll ask her what she wants to do. She has a choice to make. Rebecca has a choice to make, everybody. The servant is not going to quick, if she's thinking about it, tie her up, throw her on a camel, and drag her away. It's not going to happen. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. She's going to have to make her own choice. This is your life, Rebecca. You've never met him, but I'm telling you, this is God. This is nothing but God, and you're going to have a life that you're going to be blessed, and the Lord will use you mightily. You're going to be so. They called Rebecca, verse 58, and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I choose to go. That's what it means when she says, I will. It is my will. Free will. I want to go with him. I got to see this guy. I want to be his wife. I want to go. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And she will, by the way. And they let thy seed possess the gate of them which hate thee. We can't linger. We got to go. All this time, Rebekah had listened about the father and about the son. She had heard the stories. She heard how his birth was a miraculous birth, how there was some trouble one time with his brother Ishmael, how Abraham offered his son Isaac on that mountain, the land of Moriah, and she agreed to go with the servant to be his wife, the wife of the son. Just think about it as she represents the church. The church has heard about Jesus, heard about his miraculous birth, heard about the troubles that he had throughout his life, and how he did miracles and how he cared for people and how he was beaten and crucified on that cross, on that mountain in the land of Moriah. But that he rose again on the third day. And each one that belongs to Jesus, to the Son, each one willingly says, I'll go. I want to. I want that for my life. I give you my heart. I am willing. I want to go. Take my life. I open my heart and ask you to come in. And I choose to go with the Holy Spirit, to trust you, to allow you to lead me, to guide me. I will go. That's what you said the day you asked Jesus in. I'll go. I am willing. And you're looking forward. You may not think so, but you are looking forward to seeing the Son. Well, look at verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. How far? 450 miles on a camel. Uncomfortable the first 2 minutes you were on. Stopping at an oasis somewhere out in the desert. That's where you're going to spend the night. And I know Rebekah would say, on this journey to see the sun, it was a difficult trip. And I know that she would say things like, tell me again about his birth. How God had promised. Tell me again how Abraham was 100 years old when my beloved was born. It was a miraculous birth. Tell me again how God took him to the father took him to Mount Moriah. And one of the mountains there was to slay him there. A sacrifice. Tell me again that story. Because sometimes the trip probably got kind of long, didn't it? You know, it's a very difficult trip. It's a very long trip. Sometimes I'm sure Rebekah was uncomfortable, and it's often a dangerous trip. Now think about it, Christian. We are going to see the King. We will someday see our beloved. We will someday see the Son. And we have been purchased with a price. The Father will give us as a gift to the Son. Think about this. Sometimes the trip is difficult. Sometimes there are fleas. Huh. Sometimes the trip is uncomfortable, isn't it? And seems long. How much further is it down there, man? It seems like we've been going for an eternity. Sometimes the trip is dangerous. Looking forward to seeing the Lord. Look at verse 62. And Isaac, wait a minute. There's something important here. Isaac represents who? Who? Jesus. When was the last time we saw Isaac? In the Bible, when was the last time we saw him? Chapter 22, what happened to him? There was a sacrifice on that mountaintop. When Abraham came back down, Isaac wasn't mentioned, remember? We know Isaac came down, but there's a reason he wasn't mentioned. Because from the time of the sacrifice, the next time you see the Son is when he is with his bride. Listen, from the time of Jesus dying, paying the price, being buried, rising again on the third day, ascending back to the Father. from that time, you will not see the sun again until the bride is taken to him. And that's what you're seeing here in chapter 24. It's playing it all out for us. Well, Isaac came from the way of the well, that well right there, for he dwelt in the south country. He should have dwelt in the north country, but anyway. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, in the evening. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels are coming. There, the camels are coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, verse 64, says, when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. That means she hopped off that camel. For she had said unto the servant, verse 65, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Who's this? There's someone coming. Who is that? And the servant said, it is my master. So she knows there's the son. So she hops off the camel. She takes her veil and she covers her face. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he has done. And the Bible says, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, she became his wife, underline, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now listen, when Rebekah met Isaac, it sounds like a movie, doesn't it? When Rebekah met Isaac, when she realized it was her beloved, they don't know one another really. Marriages back then were even tougher because you were put together and you had to learn to love that person. Marriages are no different today, are they? It's just that we pretend like they are. You really think you're in love and then you marry them and you think, I'm not in love with you. I married somebody else, but I'll figure this out. And you learn how to love each other. Notice? Well, when Rebekah met Isaac, she took a veil and she covered her face. The custom of that day. But today, it's the same idea. When we meet the Lord, we'll have to be clothed as well, won't we? With what? His righteousness. The robes of his righteousness to cover us. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb, or we cannot stand in the presence of the Son. Just as Rebekah would cover her face, we will be covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We will wear those, as Jesus gives that parable, those wedding garments that the Lord himself provides. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Here's what I did. Here's how it worked. And you know, think about this. The servant had a responsibility to make sure that she got back to the son, didn't he? I mean, you're coming through some tough territory. It's hot. It's, you know, there are these out there. It's not a real joy, right? Servant's responsibility. Here's what the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit. That we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you truly belong to the Lord, the Spirit of the living God is going to guide you, give you the strength, give you the ability, going to speak to your heart, telling you this is the way, walk ye in it, going to take you along until finally you're there in the presence of the Son forever and ever. Well, we can clearly see, I think, now that the chapter's finished, God was in control of everything, wasn't he? Every event, and the servant was thrilled. God was in control of every event, wasn't he? We can plainly see, I believe, he's in control of each and every event in the book of Genesis. Wouldn't you agree? As Abraham trusts him and God is completely in control. Therefore, we've got to be able to completely see the Lord is in control of each and every one of our lives. All of us that are his. Do you see it in your life? Walking by faith. Knowing that the Lord is in control. So we trust and obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. Something that I want to close with. We read here that Isaac loved Rebekah. Do you know something? Isaac represents Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He is thrilled that you will be with him. As part of his body, as the bride, as the part of the church for eternity. He is thrilled. He longs for us, the Bible says. Jesus loves you and me. He longs for us. He desires that we be with him forever. And he's preparing a place for us because he knows we're coming. He's preparing a place. And there's going to be a time soon when the Father will say, it's ready. Go get your bride. We need to pray that we, you and me, we need to just pray that we will be faithful to our beloved by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we will, in this simple life, on this trip, to finally see the Son face to face, just ask the Lord for a fresh infilling of his Holy Spirit every day so that we can simply be faithful to our beloved until he comes to get us. Let's bow our heads together.